Hi guys, and welcome to a new episode of Activate the Amygdala. So today we are going to talk about Sylvia Likings. She is the story of a 16-year-old girl that was tortured and she was murdered by her local neighborhood. I'm pretty sure there was a Netflix rendition or movie or documentary. I believe it was called American Crime. This was back in 2007. But let's dive right into this and not waste any time. Sylvia Likings' parents were both carnival workers and had five kids, and it was very difficult for them to find financial ends. With only father Lester had an eighth grade education at this time. One of the children, Jenny, was very quiet, and she had a limp from polio at this time. Sylvia was a much more confident person and went by the nickname Cookie, and has been described as pretty, even though she was missing her two front teeth. So on July 1965, Lester Likings decided to take up with the carnival again while his wife was jailed. She was put in jail because she shoplifted during that summer. Sylvia's brothers, Danny and Benny, they were given to their grandparents to be cared for. I mean, there was only a few more options going around. I mean, not all of them could stay with their grandparents at the time. But Sylvia and Jenny were sent over to stay with a family friend. And her name was Gertrude Banishwisky. I don't know how to pronounce that fucking name. But that's probably how you say it. Well, she doesn't really... She ain't shit for me to pronounce it. I'm gonna fuck it up anyways. She's an asshole. Gertrude was pretty much as poor as the family anyways. And she had seven other kids to support in her really shitty house. At this time, she made a little bit of money by charging her laundry. She's already been through about several divorces at this point, and it's always been physical abuse at this point. And she's dealt with really bad depression through the times and went through a really bad addictive process on prescription drugs at this point. So she was really in no condition to really take care of two more kids at this point, especially teenage girls. The Likens family didn't really have a choice either. The mom was in jail, the dad wasn't really making much either. So Lester Likings requested that Gertrude, you know, raise the kids and straighten them out, discipline them. And he would place them in her care for $20 a week, which at this time was a lot of money. So a 1965 radio interview, which is what I'm going to play in a few minutes, with one of the neighborhood kids who beat the shit out of Sylvia at this point. So the first 2 weeks at Gertrude's house, Sylvia and her sister were treated, at the moment, they were treated okay at that moment. And Gertrude's oldest daughter, 17-year-old Paula Banisco, I don't know how to pronounce that name, seemed to usually tussle around with Sylvia a lot. Then 1 week, the father's payment came in really late at this point, and she quoted, "I took care of you two bitches for 2 weeks for nothing." Gertrude spit on Sylvia and Jenny. She grabbed Sylvia by the arm and dragged her into her room and closed the door. Jenny only sat outside the door and listened to as her sister was screaming and crying. The money arrived the next day, but the torture had just begun at this moment. Gertrude soon began to abuse both Sylvia and Jenny. She didn't even care if it was at night. She didn't care if it was privately. She did it. She didn't give a fuck. She did it in broad daylight this time. Though she was a frail woman, my ass, Gertrude used a heavy paddle and thick leather belt from one of her ex-husbands who used to be a cop. And she would beat the shit out of them until she was too exhausted or too weak to discipline the girls. Paula stepped in to take her place and beat the shit out of them as well. Sylvia, for some reason, became the center of attention for this abuse. Gertrude demanded that Jenny would join in and beat the hell out of her sister. And she would not award her, but if she did beat up Sylvia, she wouldn't be the one getting beat as well. So Gertrude accused Sylvia of stealing from her so she would burn the girl's fingertips. She took her to a church function and force-fed her free hot dogs until she started puking and throwing up. And as punishment for throwing up good food, she made her eat her own vomit. What the fuck? Like, are you, like, if that was me and someone was force-feeding me, I would vomit right in her face. Fuck her, honestly. So she allowed her kids, in fact, honestly, not even, she encouraged and she begged them, her kids, to join in the abuse of Sylvia and her sister. So Gertrude's children practiced their karate on Sylvia. They pushed her against the wall and on the floor. They started putting out cigarettes on her skin like a human ashtray at this point. They pushed her down the stairs. They cut open her skin and rubbed salt into her wounds. Bro, what the fuck? And after this, she would be cleansed in a scalding hot bath. So Gertrude, at this time, she gave sermons on the evils of sexual immorality as Paula stomped on Sylvia's private parts. Paula, who she was pregnant, ironically, she accused Sylvia of being with child and mutilated her genitals. I mean, at this point, why? I mean, I want to know, maybe she was scared. I understand that, but I think I would have beat that dumb bitch until she went to a Karen 1 senior home. I'd beat the hell out of her at that point. And I would punch Paula right in the stomach. Fuck that. So Gertrude's 12-year-old son, John Jr., he would force Sylvia into start stripping and shove an empty Coca-Cola bottle into her genitals while the other children would start watching. She was beaten so hard that she was unable to use the bathroom on her own. When she wet her mattress, Gertrude decided the girl had no longer fit to live with the rest of the children. So she, what most amazing caretakers would do, would lock her in the basement without food or any use of the bathroom. So Richard Hopps was a neighborhood boy who helped also to beat Sylvia at this time. On October 28th, 1965, Gertrude spread every story that she could imagine to get all the kids to join in on this beating. She would say all these negative things, that Sylvia was a whore and she was evil and this and that. So everyone would, you know, start piling up on their anger and beat the hell out of her. And she even got Paula's friends to beat the shit out of her too. So later during the trial, some of the kids were open on how Gertrude would motivate them to do this. One teenage girl named Anna Sisko said that Gertrude told her that Sylvia had been saying, quote, "She said my mother went out with all sorts of men and got $5 for going to bed with a man." Anna really didn't bother to find out if it was true, which, fuck you, honestly. Because Gertrude said, quote, "I don't care what you do to Sylvia," quote. So she invited her over and watched Anna throw Sylvia down to the ground, beat her face, and kick her. At this point, Gertrude told her children that Sylvia was a prostitute. Yeah, okay, how? She never left the house. That makes no sense. Then she had Ricky Hopps, which was a neighborhood boy, and her 11-year-old daughter, Marie, carve the words with a heated needle on her abdomen saying, "I'm a prostitute and I'm proud of it." At that point, Sylvia's older sister, Diana, attempted to see the girls under Gertrude's care but was turned away at the door. So Jenny then later reported that Diana snuck food into the basement in which Sylvia was living in. A neighbor who was reported the incidents to a public health nurse who, when she entered the home, not seeing Sylvia because she was locked in the basement at that point. She pretty much said, oh, you know, everything's cool. Everything's nothing wrong here. Like, really? Do you know how many people have done that? I think it was the, what's her name? Oh, crap. J.C. Dugard, that these cops kept coming to her abuser's house all the time to check around and everything, and they never checked that one spot that this guy had in his property. If not, these people, that girl would have been saved after years. Like, great police work there. Anyways, at that point, yeah, so she said that nothing was wrong. So Gertrude also, she also convinced the nurse that she kicked the girls out of the house, as they weren't living there. So other neighbors alleged that they were aware that Sylvia was being abused, and they had seen that Paula, you know, beat the shit out of her at the home on two separate occasions, but claimed not to report the abuse because they feared for their own lives. Bitch, what? What are you scared of? An 11-year-old beating you up? Like, if you see something, you should report it. Are you ridiculous? They should be as accountable. That's ridiculous. Bystander bullshit. So at this point, Jenny also felt threatened. She was bullied and beaten by Gertrude's children and the neighborhood girls alike. And so she went to the authorities. The abuse of Sylvia continued with no interruption at this point. So 3 days before Sylvia's passing, she told her sister, quote, "I'm going to die. I can tell." Gertrude could tell too, and she forced Sylvia to write a note in which she told her parents that she ran off. Sylvia was forced to write at this moment that she met up with a group of young boys and given them sexual favors, and afterwards they'd beat the hell out of her and mutilate her body. Not too long after that, Sylvia overheard Gertrude tell her kids that she was going to take Sylvia to a forest and leave her to die. So Sylvia desperately attempted one final escape. She managed to get out the front door before Gertrude caught her. Sylvia was just too weak at this point from her injuries that she couldn't possibly get too far. So with the assistance of a neighborhood boy named Coy Hubbard. Coy? Isn't that a fucking fish? I don't know. Gertrude beat Sylvia with a curtain rod until she fell unconscious. Then at that point, she came back to and she stomped on her head. Sylvia sadly passed away on October 26, 1965 from brain hemorrhage, shock, and malnutrition. She'd endured 3 months of torture and starvation. She couldn't really form any intellectual words at this point, and she couldn't move any of her arms or legs. So when the police finally arrived, Gertrude stuck with her bullshit story that Sylvia ran off with a bunch of boys into the woods and that she was raped and she was mutilated, and that they also beat her, and that was pretty much her evidence that why she has "I'm a prostitute, I'm proud of it" carved into her body. Jenny took her chance. So as soon as she got close to a police officer, she whispered, "Get me out of here and I'll tell you everything." Can you imagine at that point what Jenny felt? Like, imagine just having like a 50-50 chance of the police is even going to believe what you're saying right now, and you're going to get stuck there, and Gertrude's going to find out what you just said, and the police could probably send you back to live there because they don't believe you because you're a kid. And she would probably get Sylvia's same fate at that time. So the police eventually heard Jenny and everything. Jenny had some evidence and she told her the entire story. So the police eventually arrested Gertrude, Paula, Stephanie, and John, Richard Hopps, and Coy Hubbard for murder. Neighborhood participants Mike Monroe, Randy Lepper, Darlene McGuire, Judy Duck, and Anna Siskoy were also arrested for injury to person. These minors would blame Gertrude for everything at this point, that they pressured her, and she pressured them into doing this. I mean, okay, she pressured you, but you guys really went to the extreme. You started carving her, you started stomping on her, you started throwing her down the stairs. All she said was beat the shit out of her. She didn't really give you details on what to do, so fuck off with that bullshit. Gertrude herself pleaded not guilty. Excuse me? If I was in court and I saw this bitch, I would probably throw a radiator at her at that point. Gertrude herself, she pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. Okay, bitch. Quote, "She's not responsible," her defense attorney apparently said in court, "because she's not all there." She's going to be not all there when I throw my radiator at her. So there were more children involved than you know, everyone else really hoped so, but they were too young to be charged. Bitch, excuse me? They weren't young enough to beat the hell out of this poor girl. So Lastly, on May 19th of 1966, Gertrude was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life imprisonment. She was spared a death penalty, even though her lawyer admitted that in her other lawyer admitted that, in my opinion, she ought to get the electric chair. But I mean, no shit. I mean, nah, that's too fast. I think she should be tortured the same way. She should be carved. I'm a dumb bitch. So Paula, Gertrude's daughter, who had given birth to a daughter during the trial, was convicted of second degree murder at this point, and she was sentenced to life imprisonment. Richard Hobbs, Coy Hubbard, and John Jr. were all convicted of manslaughter and given two to 21-year-old prison sentences based on the fact they were minors. The three boys were all paroled for just 2 years later in 1968. Gertrude spent 20 years behind bars. There was no questions about her guilt. The autopsy backed up everything. Jenny told the police Sylvia Likens had died slowly and very painfully over the last few months. In 1971, both Gertrude and Paula were retried. Retried for what? To the result that Gertrude was again found guilty. Well, no, duh. Like, what was even the point of the retrial? Paula pleaded guilty to a little shorter amount of a charge for voluntary manslaughter and was sentenced to 2 to 21 years. She tried to escape at one time, but she was recaptured because she a dumb bitch. So after about 8 years behind bars, Paula was released and she moved to Ohio and changed her name and became a teacher's aide. Excuse me, a teacher's aide? Girl, let me find out. Let me find out if I ever go to Iowa. So she was suspended from her position. And when in 2012, when an anonymous caller tipped off the school district that Paula was once again convicted of the death of 16-year-old Sylvia. Girl, whoever called, thank you. I will send you merch. I will shout you out. Please. I want to know who. Finally, somebody smart in this story. Gertrude was granted parole on good behavior on December 4th, 1985. Parole. Hold on, I'm getting too angry. Jenny and a whole crowd of people picketed outside the prison to protest her release, as one should. But it was no use, because Gertrude was set free. I know, I'm as angry. The only relief Jenny received came 5 years after Gertrude's release, when the murderess died of lung cancer. Oh, okay, well, she's dead. Fuck her. Some good news, same Jenny. Jenny wrote to her mother with a copy. She wrote it in the woman's obituary. She said, damn old Gertrude died. Ha ha ha. I'm so happy about that. What the fuck? Me. Jenny never did blame her parents for what happened to her sister. She said, quote, my mother was a really good mother, Jenny said. All she did was trust Gertrude. Okay. This is my opinion. First of all, fuck Gertrude. And Paula, fuck off. It really wasn't the parents' fault. They really didn't have... How do you explain this? You don't really know someone until you really get to know them. The parents just did what, you know, they thought was right. They tried to do what was best for their children. I mean, I kind of would have checked up on them here and there. I mean, the mom was in jail. My dad was a carnival worker. I kind of get that. But still, like, at least check on them once and here and there. And then this would have been a much shorter thing. And at that point, Sylvia would have been alive. This is disgusting. And this is when I started reading this off. And I haven't watched the movie yet, because I didn't want to get a different story from what I was reading online and being confused and everything. But this is a horrible story. This reminds me of my older podcast with, I forgot her name, with this Japanese girl who was tortured for days with all these boys. And she was... buried in this concrete or cement barrel. It reminded me of that a lot. But it's just I don't know, a lot of things. It's confusing. Why didn't the police or the nurse like look around even more? Like, there's a basement. How do you not know that? To check around, or the police, or I don't know. What? I'm glad Gertrude's dead, because if I would have found out, bruh, I'm gonna have to, I would strangle that woman and I would plead for insanity myself too. See how I would do. But anyway, thank you for listening to this episode. And hopefully happens more frequently. And I hope you guys have a great day. Bye.